Hello and welcome to another episode of Block Talk. I'm your host, as always, Michael Block. If you love the podcast, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode, and leave a 5-star review while you're there. We love a Linktree because it's got all the ways you can help support Block Talk. Visit Linktree/MichaelBlockTalk to click on the links. We've got a link to Redbubble where you can purchase all of your Block Talk merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to hoodies to totes, available in variety styles. Another link has all the platforms you can listen to the podcast, plus links to PayPal, Venmo, and Buy Me a Coffee, should you feel the desire to tip a host. And as always, follow me on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at MichaelBlockTalk. And on Twitter/X at BlockTalkNYC for all the latest news, reviews, and interviews. There's been a murder, and there's only one queen who can solve it. It was an acting challenge inspired by a beloved murder mystery, but the one thing that got murdered was the text. It's time to Drag Race Belgique Season 2, and here with me to get sexy, it's Precious Envy. How are you?
It's Detective Precious Envy. Thank you very much.
That's right, of course. Precious.
Yes.
I have Drag News of the Week.
Does it have something to do with a little show down under?
It sure does. All right, friends, if you haven't heard, it is now officially revealed that Michelle Visage will be stepping in as host of Drag Race Down Under. I can't get confirmation if they have officially cut the RuPaul's from it, because the photo with her does not include RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under. So I think it might have been cut.
That's what I was thinking, because I saw your post that she had that it was officially announced, and I went back to be like, wait, what was the title? And I just saw Drag Race Down Under, so I'm like, oh, I could see Ru being like, I ain't hosting, get my name off that.
Right, and the way that Ru posed the confidence for Michelle post makes it seem like Ru's done with Down Under. I'm not confident about that yet. I feel like it is a temporary thing, but to make people push the narrative of, okay, it's going to be okay, you had to be like, I'm stepping back. Who knows? Well, we'll see how it goes.
Well, we kind of said every time we watched while we were watching season 3, that it felt like Ru had checked herself out and didn't want to be there. So I'm glad. I want to see what the show can do without Ru. Like, I'm pretty sure Ru might probably still be doing the hi queens, you know, that little message, because I think she does it for a couple. Doesn't she do it for Canada? I don't know.
She does.
Yeah. So I think she might still do that, because, you know, she just does it all in one take anyway.
Right.
But yeah, so I guess the next news would be who's joining the judging panel.
Right. Well, I think based on the articles and everything, it's still Reese. It's going to be Reese and Michelle. And then it sounds like it might just be a rotation for the moment. But who knows? There's still time before this airs. So that's a thing. Can't wait to talk more about it soon. But we are in Europe right now. As always, disclaimer. This is an interview podcast. We're discussing reality of show characters. It's presented straight out of the production. We're something you didn't want to tell us you want to see. We react. Well, this is presented. This is the review. We're going to do a golden tale of the crafts. But they've also been themselves. We're discussed with something in the podcast and for entertainment. Discuss reality of the show. Okay. 6 episodes into Drag Race Belgique, we're getting very, very close to the end. How are you feeling about the second season?
You know, I actually quite like it. There are some hiccups. Rita's wardrobe, a lot of interesting choices this season. A lot of interesting choices.
Don't worry, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. For the most part, I like the girls. The small cast, I think, worked for this season. There's that whole weirdness about the peeking behind the judging panel was just random and felt so staged. Like, I was like, are you just trying to get drama and buzz things up? I don't know. It was just weird.
It worked,
but it was just like, it just felt so staged. I was like, this is random.
Well, let's go through this
left
episode.
Your notes out. Yeah.
No more Enchanté from Star, as she has gone away. They call her an extraordinary person who wore her heart on her sleeve. Will you, Miss Star?
No.
Oh, why not?
You know, because there's too much Drag Race, so I can't be. If you're not my number one, I just can't.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Now, Gamana washes the mirror. She's also ready to move on. But Chloe is now the only Flemish girl left, to which Gamana says, she's got to go. They are the top five, and they're going to be honest. It's not the top five they expected. Are you shocked at this top five?
No, I think maybe Morphe might have made it to the top five, but I think she was in her head so early that I'm like, girl, you're not. I think I was an episode behind, knowing that someone was going home. Watching the episode before, I was like, oh, if anyone's going home, it's her. She's going to eliminate. She'll quit. And it was, that's what it was. I do think some of the earlier routes, like, probably didn't deserve to go when they went, but I'm okay with this top five.
Fair enough. Also, the way that Chloe popped that balloon with her headpiece, that thing was a weapon. It's a brand new week in the workroom, but first, time to remind us that Star is gone. The queens are feeling it, but they are realizing they have more room at the table. Friends, this is what happens every time now. Once there's enough room, every queen's like, there's more room at the table. I can breathe. I'm over it. And this is what happens when you watch all the shows at once and they're all getting to the end at the very same time.
Mm-hmm. It's the same. You hear the same story, just a different queen saying it.
It's their sixth week and they ponder what is in store. Well, as long as it's not Snatch Game again, Gabon is good. Now, with not many options left, Lulu is hoping for an acting challenge. Well, girly, be careful what you wish
you
for.
Wish for.
What challenge would you be most looking forward to if you were on the Drag Race television program?
I think Snatch Game would be a fun one to, like, look forward to.
Do you want to give us an idea of or, who wants to play around as?
You know what? I don't know. I think I'd want to do someone that hasn't been done before, mm-hmm. and someone that's, like, maybe, like, a cult icon that, like, no one's touched yet would be
How
fun.
About Pat Benatar?
I know, because I wouldn't, I don't know. I don't.
Okay. Yeah. How about Joan Jett?
Michelle looks enough like her. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I always had in my mind to be kind of do something stupid and be a Nicole Byer variant. So okay. You're from a Nicole Byer from an alternate world, just so I wouldn't be like the whole, be like, you're playing a black character. I'm like, no, I'm playing a variant. In this reality, she's not black, she's Mexican. Just because I could do, just to do those, like, just to do a lot of the Nicole Byer isms, because you could be pretty funny if you know the isms of a character pretty well.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Well, the alarm sounds. It's time for a read a message. It is a product placement for NYX Cosmetics and then a plug for their dirty laundry that it's time to air out. Rita arrives, and once again, she has purchased her wardrobe from ASOS. Nothing wrong with that, just an observation. I didn't make it. The internet did it for me. Do you have anything from ASOS?
I don't. Yeah, it's just like some of her looks were like, I'm like, going, I don't mind them, but there's a couple where I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's like she's getting older, her sense of style is just like, I think that's the thing for me, it's like, I don't think I get couture, because when I watch a lot of design shows, I will be like, that outfit is so disgusting and gross, and they're the ones being praised, and I'm like, the one that I think is great, they're like going, we don't like the construction of it. I'm like, wait, I don't get fashion.
Well, it's time to call in the Fritz crew, and this sexy boy arrives with some glasses. Now, I don't really care for tattoos, but damn, this boy was cute.
Oh, I do. Well, obviously, I don't mind tattoos. Oh my God, when he walked out, I was like, hello, Frit Crew. Oh.
The time has come. In the grand tradition of Paris is burning, the library is open because reading is what? Something you have
fundamental.
To graduate kindergarten. All right, let's go through it. Lulu on Gabbana. Turns out you were the queen of comedy during the infamous minister challenge. Who would have thought? Well, me. I always knew you could poke fun at yourself. If not, why would you dress like that? It wasn't funny because she doesn't dress poorly.
It was just a very long-winded joke, too. It just kept going on.
Lulu on Lvov. I rarely use this adjective, morose. The word suits you well. And I know what I'm talking about. I've seen Chloe's tuck job up close.
That was good.
Double whammy.
That was a good one.
Double whammy. Lulu on Chloe Clark. You're so boring that a 10-minute discussion with you is enough to send me into the arms of Morphe, not the depressed alien, the other one. Gabbana on Lulu. A few days ago, you told us that people often say that your makeup is a bit bitchy, but I actually think your makeup really suits your place of work. Where was it? Oh, yeah. The street corner. Okay. Gabbana on Chloe. I came up with something in French, but let's save time so you won't understand it. See? That's funny.
Funny.
Gabbana on Alvilda, my little chihuahua. You look like a model. You look like Linda Evangelista. Going bald and totally strung out, but still similar to Linda Evangelista. For those who don't know, Linda Evangelista is going through some things recently. Because I feel like at this point in time, she's probably been called every single season to guest judge on Drag Race.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she does not want to be in public.
Nope.
Neville von Lulu. She sews everything by hand. The queen of needles. She has as many needles in her outfits as in her face. Right. Neville von Gabbana. I can hear the Rita Male alarm. Oh, wait, that's just Gabbana singing. The first genocide in Drag Race history. 25 pairs of eardrums in 90 seconds. What a talent. Two reads from Lavov. Just reminding you. Just two reads from Lavov. Chloe on Gabbana. I want to die on stage. And I'm sure the judges would agree with you. Great. Chloe on Avilda. The biggest competition. Well, I'm not talking about your height. How tall do you think Alvilda is? She's probably like 5'6", right?
Yeah, she doesn't seem like she's that tall. Especially when they're standing next to each other, yeah.
Also, don't give it... If you find out, let me know, but don't put it in centimeters because I don't feel like going to Google and having to get a translation. Thank you. Alvilda's on Chloe. Chloe Clark doesn't understand a thing. She's so dumb. I saw her throwing bread down the can to feed the toilet jock. Did you get the reference?
I did not quite get the reference.
All right, so I've learned that toilet duck is a cleaning product.
Okay.
There it is. There we go.
That, you know what? Then that's a funny joke if you know what a toilet duck is.
Exactly. Next up from Alvilda on Gabbana. We all know what Gabbana's favorite phrase is. Shut it. Should have told yourself that at the end of your talent show. Would have been funnier if she said at the beginning of the talent show, but fine. Mm-hmm. And Alvilda on Lavov. What's the difference between an epileptic fit and Lavov dancing? An epileptic fit has rhythm. Boom.
That was the best read. That really was.
And with that, the challenge is over. And the winner is Lavov. Like I said, two reads.
Yeah, normally it's the other way around where it's like every girl gets two reads. And the girl that got three, you're like, well, you know, she's the winner because she got the three reads in.
The others had to have been good, though, right?
My guess is it's either she probably slayed all five or all four. And they were like, we're going to give the other girls, we're going to show the other girls more because we're going to show how struggling they were. And it's
really
like,
some
these
cowards.
These two good reads are enough to win. But I thought it was weird that they did the puppet challenge, last mini challenge, and then this one, because essentially they're the same thing. So it's like the reading challenge works when you have a larger cast, because you can just focus on more people, and then you do the puppet when it's smaller, because that's a lot more jabs to go.
I almost wonder if they forgot to do it and they're like, oh fuck, we got to do it because that's part of Drag Race.
I think that might have been the case. I think they forgot.
Well, she's gonna win an advantage of the maxi challenge, which they're going to discover the thespians living inside them. They will be acting in Murder on the Drag Express, a parody inspired by the work of Agatha Christie. Are you a fan of Agatha Christie?
I like her, but I've only ever read one book.
Certainly you've seen the recent movies directed by Kenneth Branagh, correct?
You know I have, but I find them a little boring.
Oh no. Okay.
I couldn't get into Murder on the Express. I couldn't. I sat through Death on the Nile. Death on the Nile, and I watched A Haunting in Venice on a flight.
Okay. I know that we don't really know what Agatha Christie sounds like, does, or whatever. But we've seen an Agatha Christie character on Doctor Who. Remember that episode with the bee, right?
One of my favorites.
When are we getting Agatha Christie for Snatch Game? The jokes write itself. Make it a mystery. Someone do Agatha Christie for Snatch Game. I'm telling you, it would be brilliant. You're welcome, friends. Agatha Christie, Snatch Game, winner. And just as a
All right,
reminder,
when I'm on Drag Race for Drag Race 50,000,
I've told
I'll
people to
be.
do Shirley Temple before it was done. I told people to do Amelia Earhart before it was done. I told people to do Gay Jesus. We're doing well. I know how to do this.
I think, but I think we need to gay Jesus and the gay devil are. I'm okay without them anymore. We got too many
Oh
right
no, I
away.
agree. They're done, but what I'm saying is I got you characters for new characters, friends. Also, read my article about Snatch Game. I just released it. It's on Collider. Thank you. For those playing along at home, this parody makes sense as our main character of this Agatha Christie works is the most Belgian detective, Hercule Poirot.
Paul.
As the winner of the mini challenge, Lvov will get to assign the queens their parts. As the queens read their scripts to find out the parts they get to play, we have the Countess, Henrietta, the Conductor, Herculia, and the Duchess. Lvov thinks it's responsibility to be the person in charge. It's almost like having the poison chalice. Would you want the power to assign the parts?
Yes, because I think I know Drag Race enough to know that a lot of times when they do things like this, they have certain queens in mind. So if you play along and put it as this part was designed for you, so if you do it and do it well, you could sort of you can like you know win the challenge. It's when you say this part's for you, don't go outside the box, because if you go outside the box, that's when it's going to be like you try too hard. The only downside is sometimes when they do challenges like this, that it's like if you're the lead, they're like, well, you chose the role, so you know, were you trying to fuck anyone up?
Gabbana will finally admit that her French is so-so and her character has to be strong and believable. The Countess and Herculia are the parts with the most lines, with the Conductor and Henrietta having the least. So we're going to do a little check-in with our casting director. Lvov knew this would be tough as she could be strategic and throw her adversaries off or just make a good film, which is a strategy that we've seen a lot of contestants do, usually the ones that feel a little more confident in challenge. Now, Lvov will ask the girlies what they want. Alvilda would like the Duchess and the Countess. And for Chloe, she will ask to not have a lot of lines, but doesn't want to be the conductor. She will say that she wants the Countess or Henrietta as they are more in the middle. For Gabbana, who does drama in the past, for 8 years in Spanish, would like to ask for the role of the Countess. So that's three bitches who want to be the Countess. But the Duchess would work for her as well. Now, Lvov tells her she sees her as the conductor, as she can be a boss. And Gabbana's like, but they don't have many lines. And finally, Lulu is ready to sleep to the top in order to have the part she wants. And that's anything but Herculia, who no one wants. But guess what? She likes the Duchess and the Countess. So that's all the girls, but essentially trying for the same parts. Did not make this work easy for Lvov.
Well, it's also too, you have the two girls who are like, I don't want it. I don't want, I'm gonna struggle. So don't give me like a big part, but I don't want the smallest part. You're like, girl, take what you can get.
Well, it's time to reveal the roles. Lvov will be playing the lead role of Herculia, the role that no one wanted. Alvilda will be playing the Countess. Chloe is Henrietta. Gabbana will be playing the Duchess. That leaves Conductor to Lulu. Do you think this was the best strategy for this film?
I think I would have probably switched Chloe and Lulu.
Why?
Because I think because Chloe already has a struggle with the language, I would have given her the part with the least amount of dialogue and just say facial expressions, facial expressions,
What do
facial
you think
expressions.
was Lvov's decision to do it as is?
She wanted to get rid of her, obviously.
Ooh, all right.
I don't know, because she was also the only one who said she would take Henrietta, everybody right. else was Duchess or Countess.
That's what I think it
so
is.
So I think she said, you're the only, you wanted Henrietta. No one else asked for it. So I'm going to give it to you. And I think she knows Alvedia is a really strong competitor. So I think she knew she could handle the Countess really well. And with Gabbana being like, I'm an actress, give her the Duchess. And that kind of was like, well, Lulu, you're kind of stuck with this role. Because obviously, if someone had asked to be Herculea, she might have been like, all right, I'll do a different role if you want it.
What role would you have wanted to play?
I think the Duchess was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, we arrive on set and it is beautiful. We have a hint of a green screen, but this designer did a fantastic job on the set dressing. Like, that's where the budget of the season went.
Right there. This one challenge. Here we go.
Who dressed the girls? I have questions.
Oh, yeah. They probably had someone in costumes for them.
Because I'm telling you right now, they did not bring this from home. Because if they brought this from home, okay.
I do feel like whenever they do challenges that are so specific to like when you're playing a certain part, they have to have the wardrobe to be like, this is the wardrobe, or you're going into costumes for like this right. particular company. To dress yourselves for this challenge.
Well, it's time to see who has the skills to act the crap out of this murder mystery. And from the start, Chloe tells us that memorizing text is not fun. I hear you, girl. I can't do it. I'm very bad at it. Mm-hmm. We start with the beginning, and Alvilda is coming in hot, and then Chloe ruins it because she messed up her first line. Clearly, this was going to be a long day.
Yeah. I feel the acting days are always the acting and the rusical. I feel like those are the longest days I feel on set.
We watch the next group scene, and while Chloe is bombing, it is so sad to watch. Like, the lines were her worst enemy.
They were.
Meanwhile, Lvov is knocking it out of the park. Not so much for Gabbana or Lulu.
Yeah.
Rita is giving a lot of feedback. It's all for the best. And then we will see each queen's character gets an interrogation scene. So yeah, Miss Barrow really is in this entire film.
He's carrying it like plasma carried the Sound of Ruzik.
It kind of was the same way with the action challenge in season one with Drag Queen playing the lawyer.
Yeah, the detective work, because they were all coming in pairs and they were working off of each other. So yeah.
Rita tells Chloe that her character should be timid and afraid, and I'm like, that should be easy for the girl. She got the timid part because she can't get the lines right at all. Ever. Give these kids cue cards.
That's what they need. That's what they should be doing. Especially, it's like, you want them to learn all this. Here's a cue card in the back. And if you can't read the cue card, then, well, you're fucked.
Rita was clearly getting frustrated, and the other queens knew this was not helping anybody. It was throwing them off. And I've heard that perhaps this was a very frustrating thing because Rita may or may not have had to feed lines to her every single take.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Now we have the Gabbana with Lvov, and she is going for a bipolar character. Very much so. Mm-hmm. But her new claim to fame will be mispronouncing a word, as rather than saying she's a suspect, according to the captions, she says she's sucked off. I mean, it's Gabbana. Same difference. She can't get it right. And this sets Rita in a laughing fit. This was so funny in English. I can only imagine how the native speakers found this.
Oh, yeah. Word.
And that's all the filming we're going to see. That's it. No more.
It's going to save the rest for the final product.
Well, it is the day of the screening, and the queens are ready to get sexy as they cry out for help. This filming process really must have been rough. Like, honestly, watching this season, this seemed to be the most difficult one for any contestant. Like, not knowing what's going on behind the scenes, mm-hmm. you can just tell that it's draining.
It was filmed in 10 days, that's why.
Yeah. The queens had to have fun with the filming, but Chloe's not feeling it. She knows it's doomed for her. Apparently, they also are going to tell us that they don't miss the other queens. I mean, I get why, because why would you? Because that means more competition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But do you know what they miss from the outside world the most?
Dick?
Yeah, sex. Let's talk about that.
That's kind of just, that's always the consensus with the girls.
We hear from Lulu that she is not much into the dating apps for dating or sex. And I'm like, one night with me and I'll bet you'll be saying something different.
One night only, one night only.
She claims she can go without sex for a year, and I say I can too. Add a bunch more years to it, and I'm desperate, friends. It's been a very long time. Though, isn't it crazy that I have had a, like, I had a major reputation. People thought I was a fucking whore, and it made me laugh all the time because of nothing, nothing ever. Lvov has less patience. Alvilda says it's impossible, but I say it is possible. Just ask me and I'll tell you all the... Lvov will discuss that in the community, how sex has been pushed harder and they're just not prepared for it in the sense of learning. Alvilda learned about her sexuality when she was discovering herself through dating apps. It's through hookups she learned what she liked and didn't like, as well as her limits. She couldn't talk to anyone as she was the only gay person in her family, and she couldn't have asked the questions to anyone. And Lulu says, rightly, that in school you learn about the banana and the condom, and that's it. It's the teacher who's more embarrassed than the students are, but you're only taught the Adam and Eve method. This is a very interesting topic because the reality is, unless you are part of our community, you don't realize how detrimental that is. So for most straight people who have gone through sex ed and are still straight and going through life, it doesn't click to them.
Yeah.
It's for us who now realized we needed that education at the same time. Maybe we didn't know it, want it at that time. Maybe we weren't ready for it, but it'd be great to have it once you get into the world.
Yep. Yep. Sex education is not, it's, sex education is not like all sex. It is the heteronormative sex.
Do you think there will ever be a point, at least in America, that an opportunity to teach those asking for it could happen in school? Or are we just never going to get to a place because of the politics of it all?
I think it's something that will happen. It's just, it's going to take a lot more time because it feels like everything old is new again. Cause it's like things that we fought, like things that we were in, like growing up, I remember things happening when I was younger that we moved past that are now coming back to forefront again. It's just like, I'm like, we've had these discussions, we've had these fights, and we've gotten past it. But now all of a sudden people are like forgetting that we've had this, and they're like, oh, I know kids shouldn't do this in front of gays and all that shit.
Yeah, it's really upsetting. And again, like I wish I knew things before I got to the place I am now, because things could have been different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's a lot of times it's like for queer youth, it's like we're finding things out either through other media, pornography, and it's not, and it's just like, and it's a lot of it's like based on like, yeah, when you're looking at porn, porn's a fantasy. That's not what it's really like.
Right.
Yes, you can then discover like what your kinks are, and finding community through that. But a lot of times it's like, if you don't have any, if you're not exposed to anything, you don't, it's like, you don't quite know what to do, how to do it. And you need to make sure you have partners who understand where you're at and are willing to help and not just like, wham, bam, thank you, we're done.
I think one of the biggest problem is going to be, should an education about queer sex ever happen? Mm-hmm. It's going to be the narrative of an adult teaching a minor about gay things. How dare they do that?
Yeah.
So I think,
but yeah, an adult teaching a minor about men,
it's grooming, men, grooming.
Women, it's fine because that's what the Bible says. Procreation, sex for procreation only.
It's going to be a conversation that's going to be a sticking point, but I think for me, hearing this on Drag Race is really kind of cool because we're having this conversation that I think no one would ever think to have.
No, that's the, I will say the one nice thing is, yes, we get the same kind of storylines with every season as we watch all of them, but it is nice to see when you have people who are in a different country kind of discussing the same things that are happening to us here in regards to sex education, how we learned about sex, hookup culture, even like being or even like still being afraid to walk down the street in drag or walk down the street with and holding your partner's hand, even if you are in a progressive city, because you still feel there, because there's still so much bigotry out there that it's like it's nice to, it's not nice to see, but it's like, it feels like we're connected. It's like we may not speak the same language, but we have so much shared experience that that's what makes us family.
Now, I've heard that perhaps there was more of a conversation about the sex things of it all. But for the most part, we will move over to Alvilda talking about PrEP, which is a pill you can take before engaging in sex, which helps prevent AIDS from developing before exposure. She shares that anyone can take it, gay, straight, or bi. And again, I think that's another conversation that people are afraid to have. Lord knows that there are certain networks that do have PrEP medication commercials on. And the straights are watching it because AIDS doesn't discriminate against anybody.
It doesn't discriminate, no.
So again, very important conversation to have. I think, again, being able to have conversations of this nature is important on Drag Race, because no matter where you are on the planet, it's all the same in a way.
Yep.
Why are these conversations crucial to have today?
Because we're still fighting the same fight that they've been fighting for years. And especially like if you go back, you know, we're similar in age. So, you know, we remember what it was like to grow up when AIDS first came into play and seeing and just hearing things. I remember when I came out that the first thing my mom was most worried about was me catching AIDS and dying. And this was 1998. And it's just like, and me having a reminder, it's like, you know, at the time I wasn't really that sexually active. So I'm just like, and I was also in a college that was very much, I was, you know, that had a good LGBT center that was like very much, you know, safe sex practices and all that stuff. So you knew I was already like self-educating myself on that. So it was the fact being like, I will take care of myself. I guess it's like at the time being like, you know, 18 going on 19, I'm like going, I wasn't like reckless and being like, oh, I'm out of high school going crazy. No, I still had a good head on my shoulder. So it's just like, I'm like, no, I'm like going, I'm pretty much, I know what to do and how to do it. And that's the whole thing. That's why it's like, all right, I'll start taking PrEP, because it's like, you know, if something, you never know what's going to happen when you're having sex. And, you know, getting tested, even though I go get tested regularly, even knowing that, oh, I know I'm fine. I know it should be negative. You still have that worry as they're coming in to talk to you. You're like, I know I'm fine, but what if? It's that what if that stays in your brain. And I think it's like, by having these conversations, it's telling younger kids who are now coming out of high school, they're starting college, to be like, you have to be responsible for yourself. Right. You have to get tested if you're going to be active. If you want to be taking PrEP, you should start looking into it, especially if you're going to be having condomless sex. It's like, these are all the key factors to want to be, if you want to have a healthy lifestyle, you need, these are the precautions to take to make sure you're here tomorrow.
Right. All right. It's runway time, where Rita is giving Rock Diva. What a choice.
Rock me on my dais, on my dais, on my dais.
Our panel includes Leo, who is cosplaying as Yzma, Moosey giving us Blonde Dream Boy, and special guest Judge Coralie Barbary, the creative director of Mozart. Are you familiar with her work?
I am not.
Well, for those who don't know, obviously my Belgian listeners know, she is married to Stromae, the singer. familiar?
Okay, I know him. Yes, I know him.
For those who want to remember season one, that was the first episode lip sync song. And the winner of that challenge also got tickets to see him. So remember that?
That's
remember?
Right. That's right.
No challenges get prizes this season, but
no.
Let's begin with the film and then on to our runway, shall we?
Yes.
Murder on the Drag Express. Honestly, this could be a film. Like, let's film it. I'm here for it. A full-length Murder on the Drag Express. I'd watch it.
Mm-hmm. And just cast it well around. I would love to. This is your global all-stars right there. Murder on the Internet, the best drag actresses we have.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. That would be awesome.
I just want to say off the bat, I want to die. The first shot you see is the door opening and the studio lights right behind it. Goodbye, all illusion of reality. Elvilda, high expression. And then Chloe gets knocked around. And you know what? I think she likes it. I feel like she is one of those quiet, introverted girls that once she is in the bedroom, slap her around and call it a good night.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Can you explain how Lulu was dressed as a conductor? Now, as a fan of the source material, I was a bit confused.
I thought she was going to wear kind of like a conductor, like a dragged up female conductor Correct. Element. I think we got more of that from La Grande Dame a few weeks ago Correct. on UK.
She looked like what the costume department said for the challenge.
That's what I meant, because she looked more like she was like an heiress than the conductor.
If is it was possible something that they did bring their clothes from home?
And it could be brought their clothes, or the character we is being did they could, were they saying the word conductor and it was or was it being translated as conductor?
That it's a conductor, so I don't know. My friends speak
because I'm wondering. Yeah, I'm wondering if it's one of those things where it's more like a like her role is more like a maitre d'. Like you know how on these type of trains, it's like she's guest services. She's not actually running the train. Yeah. I could see if the role is more like a maitre d'. Keep the guests happy.
Great.
On the train, then I can understand her outfit. But I guess with the term conductor, I was expecting to be more like,
especially on a train,
uniform, more of a uniform.
Well, a crime has been committed, the murder of a wig, and they must find someone to help solve the crime. And they're sleeping on vacation, Hercule Poirot, who can't let the crime go unsolved. Now suddenly, it's the reveal of the Duchess, and Gabbana does a weird face. I guess that was her version of camp.
Yes.
The Duchess and the Countess are mortal enemies. So everyone's got to be questioned. There's some great classic comedy in this bit where we do the whole like you.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was more of that in the text.
Yeah.
Because slapstick comedy is universal no matter where you are on the planet.
Yeah, I think more of the physical comedy could have drawn us in a lot more. But it's like when it's just the dialogue, and if it's like, and especially you know, WoW's known for not having the strongest or more of the correct translations of things. Yeah. So
the Countess is interrogated first, and Elvilda pretending to blow fake smoke was a choice. The wig, we learn, was made from Cleopatra's hair, which her tomb has not been discovered yet, we learn. The Countess borrowed it from Sarah Bernhardt, who tragically vanished. Cleopatra, I don't remember the other character's name, but it's inspired by a Belgian comic, I believe. So that's why we're playing in this world. So this was a reference for us Americans without... No.
Mm-hmm.
She last saw Cleo, the wig, in her normal condition at 11:30 a.m. when she and Henrietta left for the dining car. They discovered it after 1 p.m. And then we get a thank you back and forth after their interrogation. And again, give us more of that kind of comedy. Very cute.
Yeah.
We have Henrietta. And Chloe is trying so hard. She really wanted to do well, but she knew it was over.
Yeah.
The character felt nothing for the wig, but had to care for it. So take it out in the morning, put it in the evenings, the wig, not the Countess. Again, comedy lines. She just didn't deliver it because she didn't know the lines.
Yep.
Therefore, her performance was stiff.
Yep.
Now, before she leaves, one last question. Was she absent during the meal just to use the toilet? All right, fine. There's our facts. Now it's the conductor, and Lulu is playing a very strange character, and it's not just because I can't get beyond those pencil-thin eyebrows. Very French. Very, very, very period.
I love a chola brow, as I call it.
She was serving the passengers during the time the wig was killed, but she did not go to the kitchen, despite no one being able to confirm that, because there was no one who wanted to play the chef. Funny line. Very cute. Like that one. And finally, she has ink on her hands. They're filthy. But why? And then she runs off. And obviously, we know why she would have ink on her hands, because mm-hmm. she's playing the conductor, which makes sense. And the costume does not.
Yep.
And last is the Duchess. And she's only on the train by coincidence, as she was meant to be on the previous train, but it was canceled. She will twitch when she is asked about the Countess, and Gabbana is just going to go crazy, like overacting to the extreme. She was in a different universe than anybody else in this show.
Oh, yeah.
She says the Countess's downfall was her obsession with Egypt and will leave before walking into the door. I don't know if that was a character choice or if Gabbana actually walked into the door.
I think it might have been B, and they're like, keep it in, it's funny. Yeah.
Notice how this entire segment, I was like, not talking about Lavove, because she was what? Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfection. No notes. That is acting.
Yep. She was doing a stellar job.
It's time to solve the crime. Hercules says the wig never saw the light of day or the sands of Egypt. It was a mere ruse from Sarah Bernhardt, who was not her friend. She stole the wig, and Henrietta is a Bernhardt. And this was a revenge for making fun of Sarah at the Silent Cabaret, and the wig had ink stains from the conductor, whose besties with Sarah Bernhardt. Sarah allegedly killed herself because of the stolen wig, and that's when I got confused, because I was like, I know we're trying to use the source material, but maybe we took that a step too far. And then the Duchess, well, her hairspray was on the wig, and she was only involved because she... no link. She was just couldn't pass up an opportunity to ruin the Countess's journey. And then we get a big fight scene. End scene. Obviously, if you don't know the source material, that was a massive spoiler to what the Murder on the Orient Express does. So if you didn't know, I'm sorry. But I, honestly, like, whoever wrote this
on a property that is close to 100 years old at this point, I'm sorry. Right, spoilers.
You got to know.
People don't read. They don't read.
For me, as a fan of Murder on the Orient Express, I thought this was really well written, and it translated well for drag. It just they needed like another day to perform this,
yeah,
because they were just not fully realized characters quite yet.
And I do feel like I think this would be a fun challenge when you have a larger cast too, because mm-hmm. then you can play off each other a lot more. You don't have to rely. Everyone could have like, there's the only one that has like the large part would be whoever's playing Henrietta Perot, and then everybody else can be smaller parts. But that way you have more to do.
Absolutely that. Yeah, it was cute. I'm not mad at it. I do think this group of five was not going to be the best version of it. I do honestly think if you swapped out Chloe for Star, this would have been very, very good.
Oh yeah.
There's a universe that Star could have played Herculia. But overall, oh, yeah. I think this was still a fun little challenge. And yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's definitely not the worst acting challenge we've seen. But it is fun when they play off of actual inner electoral properties that, like, but yeah, I would say about like majority of people at least know what the source material is,
right? And I think that's what really did benefit, is because it is such a beloved international friend, like, series. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't know who Agatha Christie is, like, go to a library, like, they actually mm-hmm. do exist. You can actually walk into one.
She has a lot, like, her catalog is huge.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the runway. Category is sexy outfits. If you didn't know either, the saxophone was invented in Belgium. I am so excited about this category because I used to play the alto saxophone. So ooh. This one touched my soul, which means I'm going to be very fucking critical about it. In honor of the runway.
I didn't quite know what the category was, especially when Lulu comes out as the first on the runway. I didn't quite get it until like halfway through. I'm like, wait, Is it Saxe? Because I wasn't paying. I obviously it wasn't not like the when they said the category is, I went over my head, and then being like, because everyone else after that was a lot more like, oh, I can see it clear as day what you're trying to do. But Lulu's was like, it was like it wasn't so out there. It's like when she moved to a certain angle, you're like, I think she has a Saxe there.
Well, we're going to play income Saxe or Saxe exemption because it's almost tax season here in America. Sorry, I'm really bad at this. I love puns.
Oh my God, these puns are stupid.
Lulu Velvet, look by Lulu. I think she did not want to do this category, and she said, I'm going to hide this saxophone any way I can do it.
The exactly. Outfit's very
pretty. I don't care for the giraffe print. I don't want it. I don't love the hair. I'm not here for this look.
No, I do like the dress. You know, she wore blue velvet. It's great. But yeah, I think it's like it feels like it was one of those things where she's like, I have this really nice dress I want to wear, so I'm going to put this with it and hopefully it works.
Yeah.
Because the dress by itself is gorgeous. Stunning. But for the category, no, ma'am.
The judges felt her runway was an homage to herself and the film Blue Velvet, calling it classy. They were puzzled by her acting as it was too cerebral and subdued. I will give her a Saxe exemption.
She gets a Saxe exemption.
Audience, 39% income Saxe, 61% Saxe exemption. Gabbana, look by Alain Roland's design, here by Quindam Wiggs. The nude illusion is so messy on the sleeves. The bottom looks like a honeypot and not a saxophone. Yeah. And then she is lugging that sax on the floor like she has no care in the world. It feels a bit flimsy and lopsided overall, but it's okay because it's so grand and drag.
Yeah.
So for me, it's safe at best.
Yeah, it was the look itself. It wasn't my favorite. I liked what she was trying to accomplish, but it did feel like it needed like a few like fine tunes here and there. Like it did, like you're saying, like especially at the bottom, it does feel like there's the nude illusions feels like there's a little extra fabric around there. And I couldn't tell if she was like, if that's how she was walking or if she was gliding on skates. Based on how the bottom portion was covered. I think it was a good idea. All rightly executed, like not my favorite, but definitely I like it more than Lulu's.
The judges felt she was floating in her look like she was on wheels. They liked the hair, but the nude illusion was risky and they could see what's underneath. They say her acting was good as they laughed and saw another side of her. I will go soft income Saxe.
I will second that, income Saxe being soft.
Audience, 81% income Saxe, 19% Saxe exemption. We have Elvilda, look by Lion Ascendant. Love the idea of deconstructing the saxophone. The spine really does look right. The front, I guess they're supposed to be the keys. They're not really ringing properly. I would have cut them completely. But for me, this is pretty exploratory of a look.
Yeah. No, I like that it's very like avant-garde. It's very much like if you went into like a modern art museum and it was like, here's a deconstructed sax, you're like going, oh yeah, I can see it. I can see it being like this.
The judges love the deconstructed saxophone and say the choice to not wear a wig was modern. The acting they call a gift as she had chemistry with Lavov and was great with the close-ups. I will give it an income sax.
Income sax for me.
Audience, 67% income Saxe, 33% Saxe exemption. Lavov, look by Adam Hello. I like the Saxe element, but the rest leaves me a bit confused. I think with all the elements present, it becomes a bit cumbersome. The idea of being the conductor of an orchestra is smart, but it's not fully fledged out. It's not bad, except it does look like it's not fitting.
Yeah, like it's something where like the idea is great, but I think the execution needed another draft.
Yeah. The judges say she was deadly and excellent. They tell her she was extraordinary with the most amount of lines as she stole every scene. They think the instrument could have been longer. I'll give her a soft income Saxe.
Yeah, soft. It's a soft one for me as well.
Audience, 68% income Saxe, 32% Saxe exemption. Clem Clark, no designers listed. It's very expressive and couture. I feel like this photographs much better than it moves. I don't love her in a dark hair. It's just quite harsh for her personally, but very, very cool concept and very well crafted.
Yeah, I do think, yeah, especially because when you look at the pictures that they have on Drag Doc looks, it looks like, yeah, it's like because they're taking the shots like mid pose, it doesn't look weird. But I think it's like if she when she does that photo shoot of the outfit, I think it's gonna be like just stellar. I think this is a great look on her. I like the idea, and it looks like she looks like she's having fun, which we couldn't say the same about her in the challenge. But yeah, I would agree. I think like maybe even like a brunette-y hair, like brunette or dark blonde, probably would have worked better than just going all black.
The judges loved the idea of the look and felt it was a surprise with a difficult theme. She is told she didn't understand the character and others stole the spotlight from her and lacked courage, and they could see her panicking. I will give her an income sax.
Sure, income tax for me as well.
Audience agrees. 95% income sax, 5% sax exemption. The queens head backstage as they are bogged down by all the sacks of it all. Literally, some of those queens were just unable to move and groove. The vibes are quite off. Maybe it was fatigue, maybe the saxophones. And Lulu is certain that she's going to be in the bottom, and Chloe knows it's her as well. Lulu expects the jury to be demanding and wants to burn the saxophone afterwards. She just does not like saxes. Do you blame her?
She's more of a piccolo girl.
You think you like she likes to
Yeah,
piccolo? Here's what I'm gonna say. I don't know if they were burned out, but all I know is the energy in this Untucked didn't work, and it's a shame.
I would say my guess is they probably filmed that in the morning and then had the runway at night. That's my guess is because sometimes they put them through where it's like the child where it's like everything's like this is a 1 day challenge where they're doing everything in 1 day. I could see it being like they probably had or they had or there was no break between the last challenge and this one, so they're still running on that
Yeah.
challenge. Yeah, I could see them being like, "Hi, yeah, your break is after this is over," and they're like, "Dude, I've been working every day for 2 weeks. I'm ready for a break."
Yeah, I agree. Something was off. Because I feel like four out of five knew they're safe, you know. They're all convinced that Lavove will win the week, and she knows it as well, but she's not someone who is going to throw it in their faces, which I appreciate. That's it. That's all we get. The results are in. Lavove is the winner of the week. Gabbana, Avoda, safe, leaving Chloe and Lulu as the bottom two. Do you agree?
Yeah, this all makes the most sense.
Yeah, I'm okay with the results being what they were. The song is Trust Fall by Pink. They really are giving us the American artists this season, aren't they?
It's a trustful baby.
I don't think it mattered what happened in the lip sync. It was Chloe's time to go. She was very much on borrowed time. That being said, she did a very solid job, especially wearing that look.
I thought looking at the lip sync, I thought it was very evenly matched. So even if in the world where they kept Chloe, I felt like she did a good enough job in the lip sync that if they had gone the different route and got rid of Lulu, I was like, yeah, it makes sense. I was like, you both were very steady on it. I did think Lulu was playing to the emotion a little bit more. And I was like going, I could so when it came down to it, I'm like going, yeah, Lulu's the one I expect to hear you say. And Chloe, I think, it's your time.
Yeah, no, I agree. It really is an incredible song to lip sync to. Like, I think Pink is so underrated in drag.
Yeah, I feel like we've only gotten what, like two or three?
Yeah, not many. Not
Yeah.
many there.
And I
I
will say,
was.
and the one I can think of is Stupid Girls because that was an iconic lip sync between Jocelyn and LaGonja.
What lip sync would you like from the songbook of Miss Pink?
Oh, see, I would want one of her ballads.
What? Which one?
Oh, which ones do I love? I think I'd probably want something off of like Family, off of Misunderstood, like Family Portrait. But then she has a couple of good B-sides that are like, oh, these are fun tracks.
Fair enough, fair enough. In the end, it's over for Chloe Clark. Lulu is safe. Do you agree?
Yeah, I figured that Chloe was, you know, she got a win for Snatch Game, but other than that.
Yeah, she had her time. She did well. Good for her. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the language barrier was a thing, but good queen. Very, very good.
Yeah. No, she's fine. Yeah.
All right. I have some burning questions to wrap this podcast up. Are you ready?
Shoot.
What is Chloe's legacy?
Her golem.
Yeah, honestly, it is. Like, I mean, being the timid Flemish girl with good looks, it's going to be there, but she is going to be remembered for that Snatch Game. She was,
but honestly, wild. It was an iconic for it's an iconic Snatch Game because no one's done golem,
right? Choices for sure.
Mm-hmm. But there are good choices.
Who won the week? Who had the best episode?
Lvov. You know, she carried the acting challenge. Did good, had a good reading challenge, even though we saw very little of it. But yeah, I think she won the week for me.
I'm gonna say saxophones. Congratulations, my favorite instrument. Yes. Listen, I love the saxophone so much. Like, I listen to weird shit of just saxophone music. Like, there is a medley of Carmen played on saxophones that I listen to on repeat. That's how much I love the fucking saxophone, people.
You're keeping Kenny G alive, I see.
No, not Kenny G. But if anyone has really cool sax songs you want to send me, I'm here for it. Give me, baby. But missed opportunity not doing Mr. Saxo Beat.
Mr. what?
Mr. Saxo Beat. Do you not know that song?
No.
All right, Google it. All right, next up, it's time, the makeover, and they are getting loved ones. Who is they ready are. To gawk over that hot boy? Oh my God, he is beautiful.
Yeah, I was like, when that, I was like, who are you? I'm like, who are you with? Who are you related to? You are gorgeous. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's going to be very fun to watch that. Which loved one would you want for your makeover?
Personally, or from what was shown?
Do you want as your makeover partner?
As my makeover partner? I guess the only one that would trust me would probably be my niece or my nephew. One of them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a drag queen, so I don't want anybody, but mm-hmm. I would probably say my mom.
Aww. Yeah. My mom would love to do it. I know my mom would love to do it, but it's like, you know, she's getting up there in age, so it'd be very much be like, hi, she has to wear the what is it, the biscuits.
Yeah, the biscuits.
She has to wear the biscuits.
Six episodes of whatever the season is.
I wonder who's going to win this season.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah, it's Elvilda. It's Elvilda for me. Something drastic would have to happen. Like, I am positive she's probably going to win this makeover challenge too.
Honestly, it's like, I think I saw something where it's like, she has the Kiana track record of the year so far, where she has not been low. It's like, she hasn't faltered.
Well,
she's
somebody
been
else
very...
has that track record, and we're not talking about Drag Race España right now because I'm still very pissed.
We don't talk about that All-Stars. I don't know. España didn't have All-Stars. What are you talking about? They're not doing All-Stars.
All I'm going to say, though, is if Elvilda wins, congratulations. She deserves it. She did an exceptional job so far this season. Future producers of any of the franchise internationally, let's slow it down a little bit. Like, give them one bad week just so we can... Not
or
yeah,
or make them safe a week where you know they shouldn't be, like where it's like you're good, but let's make you safe so that way we can talk to another girl who we haven't gotten a chance to talk to yet. Because that's where it feels like every time you get these girls who are like, yeah, they've been safe every week because they're not doing bad, they're just not breaking through. But you need to give them a week at the top just so that they can talk to them and kind of see where their head's at. And then kind of get an idea, oh, do we want to keep you around?
That's it. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what happens soon. For now, where can we find you on social media, Venmo, and any projects you want to plug?
You can find me on Instagram at Harry is Precious as Harry. The Venmo is Precious Envy. I do have a birthday show coming up in a month in April at the Rock Bar. So follow the socials for deets when I start sharing them. But yeah, that's where you'll find me.
No St. Patrick's Day show. No show called Getting Lucky, Green with Envy.
No.
Missed
I
opportunity.
it's like you know and what am I gonna do? It's like just do the Cranberries
Dropkick
catalog.
Murphys.
I just do the Cranberries catalog.
I'm gonna do the
Just do
Dropkick Murphys.
Linger, Hollywood, Dreams. Yeah.
There it is. Well, thank you so much for being here. It was a blast.
Thank you for having me.